Dude. We'll smoke some weed.
Oh, I'll do so hot there. Well, that's just me.
Dude, that's totally awesome.
Hey, Beavis.
We'll find some chicks.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go, bud. Yeah, score. Yeah, rule.
I'm Coolio. I'm a butthole.
That's fucked.
For the audience out there who was listening, we're actually going to be doing one about that sort of weird golden period we call age 12 to 17, could even extend up to 19, even though most people who play teenagers are usually in their 20s as actors.
Otherwise known as Dawson casting.
Exactly there. They have to do it for legal reasons because some of these shows are a little bit pervy, like Skins and Euphoria. But
and because being adults, they can like give them full time and less legal restrictions on their employment.
Oh, absolutely. It's how Jay Baruchel got to play a high school on a film called The Trotsky. It's a film from Canada because no one's heard of. Check it out.
And, of course, how Charisma Carpenter and Nicholas Brendan, even though they're already in their late 20s, got to play high school students in the first seasons of Buffy. Well, and the first, and just Buffy in general.
No, go figure. I mean, the in-betweeners guys, they were like that. Most of them were in their 20s, I think.
Stockard Channing was in her 30s when she was in Greece playing Rizzo.
Oh.
And looked it.
I suppose, some people look a lot younger than others you would expect. I've met people who have no grey hair, who are actually a little older than me, who look like they could very well be 23 or 19, but yet they're like 33. Go figure, in many ways. But,
well, I mean, one example is the first Happy Death Day film where found out Jessica Roth, who plays the main character, is only 2 years younger than me. The film came out at the end of 2017, so she was already 30, and she was playing a 19-year-old. I mean, she was at university, so it was maybe her birthday, so probably 19. I mean, it looked like she was playing a teenager, and she clearly did pass for it.
Oh, dear. Well, sorry, we'll reel that back in for anyone else out there. 3 minutes in, as you already well know, this is Skinny E Media. Here we have Bobotron. As he'll do is, hello, hello there.
Hey, hey, as I usually say. Yeah, it rhymes.
Yeah, reference like Fat Albert, I believe. And
hey, hey, hey.
Yeah.
I was more doing the Krusty the Clown, hey, hey.
I was going to do Yogi Bear with I'm smarter than the average bear.
Okay.
That's for certain generations who remember watching Yogi Bear on telly. I remember it from Boomerang. But beside the point, we're going to be talking about teenagers and movies that deal with that sort of adolescent period between 12 to 17. Well, actually, I take that back. 12 to 19, really. In all fairness, it's a vast...
Your high school years through to possibly your university years, or college, as they call it in America. In Britain, college is a different thing. It's what you do between high school and university.
Oh, yes, of course. I mean, in all fairness, we're going to refer to it by its internationally recognized word, university or higher education. So don't be too alarmed by the semantics or whatever. We go as we please, and as always, we're going to start with the first question regarding your experience with films about teenagers or adolescents, even when you were a teenager, before or after.
Films about teenagers. I would say the first one I ever actually watched, because I didn't really watch a huge amount when I was a kid or anything, was probably going to be American Pie. And let's face it, if we're talking about BBFC versus MPA stuff, there's a gold mine in there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, the uncut version was presumed to have NC-17 level content, which...
And still a 15 here.
I find that awfully bizarre, really. I mean, I've seen much more famous titles.
I mean, oh, wait, bizarre that it got the NC-17, it was bizarre that it got away with 15.
The NC-17.
That's right.
I mean, in all fairness, I've seen teen comedies nowadays go with a lot stronger material. And then Euphoria and Skins gets away with murder, so... But those are more dramas. They're not comedies like American Pie or like...
I've been meaning to watch Euphoria, but I've never got round to it.
Don't bother. It's for Generation Z. Stick with, like, Inbetweeners or American Pie. Even Fast Times.
Sex Education on Netflix is quite a good... one I quite like.
It's got Tanya Reynolds in it, who... I have a bit of a crush on her, in case anyone's asking. She grew up near where I used to live, weirdly enough, Hemel Hempstead.
Did she play in Sex Education?
Yeah, she's the one with the pigtails, I think. She's all sort of gawky and tall.
Oh, her?
Very large eyes. I don't know her name. I know.
Yeah, I know which one. She's one with the character who's all sci-fi obsessed and everything.
I guess I wouldn't be able to tell you because I don't really watch that show. But it is a show we could talk about because it does deal with teenage and adolescent years. But before I cut you off, on my experience, I've seen a lot of films that are about the youth experience. Youth. Oh, how evil they are. Edward Scissorhands was more or less my first entry into this sort of thing. I always viewed it as a sort of youth film because... Winona Ryder, I think, must have been like 17 or 16 when she was in it. And then Anthony Michael Hall, he was in it. He was in Breakfast Club and Weird Science. And I know John Hughes, he will be talking about him quite a bit, was pretty much the pinnacle of the youth genre. But when I did turn into a teenager, I wasn't really watching like teen movies and dramas that much. I know The O.C. and One Tree Hill were quite popular when I was growing up, but Inbetweeners was sort of my foray into sort of youth TV shows and movies, really. I mean, I was about 16, 17 when I started watching the show, and I always found it very funny, and it was one of the first 18 certificate TV shows I got to watch and even own on DVD. I know that caused didn't cause any of a stir, because even my mother watched it and she thought it was hilarious, even if it was pretty rude.
I can, possibly can imagine. I mean, I don't know why you'd watch something like that that's aimed at clearly a younger audience with your, boomer parents or anything who are already long past their adolescent era. And one thing that can be said about shows or films that are generally aimed at the teen audience and everything, and basically are about teen lives, it's not a good thing, because of course they will age badly. And have you seen the first American Pie recently?
I have to admit, I've never seen American Pie. Oh,
dude, for fuck's sake, man. No, but it's okay. We haven't all, there's loads of things I haven't seen, or I've only seen recently, so I mean, I can't really point too many fingers. But, it was quite a groundbreaker. Is that a word? Well, I don't know. Anyhow, it started off a revival, even one might say, of raunchy teen sex comedies and everything. But of course, you watch it now, 24 years later, and of course, wow, it's very, very 1999. I mean, the huge pop punk infused soundtrack with the likes of Blink 182 and, mostly them. Just really, dates it so badly. As not to mention the way they dress and everything. And of course, there is the whole it being quite problematic by today's standards, and the whole them trying to get laid no matter what sounds like something that would influence the incel movement. It's just the way they dress and everything, you look at it, and all the technology that we use, which is inevitable in any sense, but wow, this one really hits home. The same with many of the other teen comedies or teen romantic comedies that are around, or teen dramas that are around at the time. most of which were going for a younger audience, and therefore PG-13/12 ratings like She's All That and 10 Things I Hate About You and, well, All That.
In 10 Days or Loser, Jawbreaker, a lot of those films. You know, when I was growing up, I always thought all these sort of teen movies were all sort of 12, 15 area. It was a bit unusual to see a teen film be a PG, like Edward Scissorhands, which had to be cut to get PG.
Was that a teen film? I never saw it as one.
I view it as that on some levels. You know, Johnny Depp was popular with teenage girls at the time. And then Winona Ryder was in it. She was quite young. And Anthony Michael Hall from Breakfast Club and Weird Science, he was in it. And I felt, you know, when I first saw it as a kid, I felt, oh, how mature I am, even though it's a bloody PG. But, you know, there's a nostalgic quality about it that makes me quite happy about it. But if you're talking about strictly films that are about teenagers or young people, I don't know if, you know, talking about Without a Paddle, which had Dax Shepard and Seth Green in it, counts.
Well, I don't know, actually. It's Without a Paddle. I mean, the characters in it, I mean, are a bit beyond their teen years. It kind of might appeal to frat boy students. It might be done. So I guess it kind of, it blurs the line. It blurs the line because it's not high school era, but at the same time, it's not really, you know, full-time job having grown-ups and everything. So, all right, I'll take it. I'll count it. I've only seen that once.
And then some of the Ghibli stuff, but I think the most of those are like sort of UPG level. And U and PG are usually associated with kids' movies. 12 and 15 are the teen ratings, but it can happen, yes, my friends, that a film can be aimed at youth and still be an 18. I mean, look in between us. Look at Project X and 13 and Christian F.
Wasn't the Inbetweeners film cut for a 15?
Both 1 and 2 were cut to avoid an 18 because some of the sexual dialogue and humor was a bit too graphic or on the nose, which, in fairness, a little bit weird considering most 15-year-olds probably know what autoerotic
asphyxiation. Do you mean autoerotic asphyxiation? God, I can't talk.
Yeah, autoerotic asphyxiation and then also self-autofellatio. Most disturbed kids these days look at porn and want to kill their parents and know much more than we even knew. I know it's a bit weird as millennials talking about this, but you'll be surprised at what Gen Z does know. Because the internet.
Well, that is true. That is true. That's, not whatever. I'm going to say it's an unfortunate consequence, but I don't know if it really is. I mean, it is what it is. And, you know, maybe they're just growing up earlier. Sooner and who knows, but I haven't seen any of the Inbetweeners films. I haven't watched Inbetweeners, to be honest. I don't watch a lot of teen drama TV shows other than Sex Education, because that looked like it might be quite good, and it is quite good, quite interesting, plus some of the birds in it are quite fit, like Emma Mackey and Mimi Keane, even if they were, their characters are playing are probably a bit too young for me. Well, the actors are too young for me. I mean, I'm 11 years older than Emma and 13 years older than Mimi. Well, still fully grown, so I don't know. Anyway, let's not get too bogged down on it. I quite liked it. Pardon?
We'll censor that bit for anyone who's listening.
Well, I don't think it really requires. I don't think that should be required. What the fuck was I going? Probably the most teen drama thing I did watch, of course, in my teenage years. It's not so much, at least to start off as one, was Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the TV series.
Well, I would certainly count that one in. No, that she is a 15 and a 12. I'm thinking of Angel, which had like one or two episodes that were 18 stuff.
But one episode. Apparently, it's only one episode. And
Okay.
I do not know why, because I've seen that episode, and I just don't know why I got it.
I think we remember talking about Buffy a little bit at one time, saying that there was a lot of issues with censorship when it did air on like BBC or something, or they
Oh,
had to
yeah.
get stuff out for daytime broadcast versus the evening. T4 used to do this a lot. They would edit certain things out of Friends or Futurama, but then air it sort of a little bit more unbolderized in the evening on Channel 4.
Well, yeah, because if it was on before the watershed, they played it safe, and of course they almost had to keep it almost U or maybe no, just U rated almost, well, equivalent of U rated, just for daytime viewing, or at least early morning viewing, which Futurama would have been, but that's not what we're talking about. But Buffy was on about 6, so they did cut out any of the swearing or any on-screen sex stuff, which as the series progressed got even more and more. I'd say even more explicit as Fox would allow them to. But then, of course, they'd air it again after 9 p.m. or about 10-ish or anything on a weekend, so you could see the whole thing completely uncut. Which, not a lot in there really when you think about it. When you compare it to modern TV shows like Game of Thrones or True Blood or whatnot.
You're right. I mean, Buffy aired on a regular sort of terrestrial TV station back in the US. There's a lot more censorship, but I think to our audience, that's kind of already known. Americans are really funny about stuff, but at the same time, it's sort of the revolt roles have sort of reversed a little bit, especially when you've got stuff like Euphoria and 13 Reasons Why, which have been pushing the envelope quite a bit in terms of content issues, and I think this area is more because of the suicide imagery more so than anything, which teen suicide is a problem. I know I was suicidal when I was growing up, even before I turned 12 or 13. But yes, there have been sort of pressure groups that have been telling the producers behind these TV shows, please could you tone it down, or could you at least put a disclaimer? So when I saw Euphoria as part of like a free trial or something abroad, they did put a disclaimer saying that the following program contains scenes of the sexual nature or scenes of suicide. Due discretion is advised. And this was even the uncut version. And then the 13 Reasons Why I had to trim out a scene or two of suicide after the fact, which is very unusual because Netflix almost never censors anything except when you're trying to sell it to like India or Turkey.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was watching the first episode of American Horror Story on Netflix, which had one scene, one bit of dialogue that was cut out by the BBFC for a home video release, even though it was rated 18, which was based about suicide and the phrase "they won't be able to stitch that up." But of course, on Netflix, it was just completely purely on there because, again, Netflix doesn't have to do what the BBFC says, which is fucking based as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, it uses an algorithm in its own way, and algorithms can be very tricky on the audience.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
It's too
I think
lowly. I don't like it.
the algorithm might be being a bit stricter than BBFC would normally would be, but they're probably just covering their bases there. I mean, it's certainly, and it's, but when shit's not getting cut out, as far as I'm concerned, that's perfectly cool. Anyway, getting a bit off topic and everything.
But yes, a bit bizarre on my end. Well, I'll put it this way. Young people have always been very impressionable to certain things, especially if they come from sort of broken families or poverty. They're likely to turn to their peers to try to feel like they fit in or something. That didn't really happen to me when I was growing up. I was always kind of a loner. Every now and again, when I did go to a co-ed school, I would try to flirt with the lasses, but even that didn't work out quite as well. And a lot of that still sort of haunts me, even as I am much older now. And issues with peer pressure and racism, that sort of thing. That's one of the reasons why I don't like sometimes watching films or TV shows about adolescents. I usually will just stick to stuff that is very familiar to me, and I don't have to squirm about. That's why I like Inbetweeners and Scott Pilgrim versus the World so much. I don't know if Scott Pilgrim counts as that, but I view it
it's
as...
It does.
And it's a 12 certificate, so you can show it to all members of your adolescents in the family if you choose to. I'm sure there's probably 10 and 8-year-olds who probably like the film too, but I don't think they would get in on some of the sort of clicky millennial video game humor. That's one of the problems with generations. They sometimes don't get in on some of the references that us millennials, especially you because you're older than me, grew up on. You
well, probably yeah, like... that's been established. I mean, basically, these things do tend to date. And sometimes you look back at things that, that Gen X or boomers would have grown up with. We may not get half the references. That's just how it rolls.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, in all fairness, my mother, I know I shouldn't be saying openly about family members, but she grew up on stuff like Animal House and Fast Times at Ridgemont High. And even when she was older, she was in her 20s in the 80s, she saw Breakfast Club and 16 Candles and all these sort of John Hughes films. That's what I call sort of like Generation X type movies, because they're quite popular and they sort of appeal to that sort of counterculture that was there at the time.
And of course, 16 Candles. I mean, I think we can agree as far as teen movies go, because we've always said this about teen movies and when they don't age very well, not just because of the styles and everything, but because of the moral values of the time. I mean, 16 Candles is renowned for being horrendously problematic.
With jokes that can be construed as date rape, there's also a lot of sort of racist banter and stereotype and that hot stuff, and the gong plays, and there's also quite a bit of nudity as well.
Well, that's
essentially a PG in the States. It got a 15 in Britain.
It's 12 now.
Well, we like to be nostalgic for our parents when they first saw it.
But yeah, I only saw 16 Candles recently when I was during the lockdown, because like I said, I was going on my film binge. It's also the first time I saw Breakfast Club and Footloose, and then later on Dirty Dancing. And I think they all count as teen films. Well, I know Breakfast Club does. It was a few years earlier I'd seen Revenge of the Nerds, which is equally problematic as 16 Candles, not just because of the where they install cameras in the sorority girl's house so they can spy on them and then later on sell pictures of them naked without their consent. But there's the whole Darth Vader costume scene.
Hey, you know, it's been a while since I've seen that film. I saw it on television one night. And that's one of the problems. We've sort of hinted at this in many podcasts of yore. You don't pick up on how offensive or un-PC things may be until you look at it from the outside. I mean, in my experience, let's say Inbetweeners, there's a character on there that's got blonde hair. He's called Jay, and he's very sexist, very obsessed with wanting to get shagged. You can never have a character like that be the sort of token character nowadays, especially considering Jay Cartwright, who's played by, I think, James Buxton. Sounds a lot like Andrew Tate. He goes on about shagging and the virtue of his penis. He's like Sid the Sexist on Viz. That's what it was like, Johnny Bravo, but with a more sort of X-rated mouth.
Well, that's true. I mean, another film that came out around the same time as American Pie, and there's other films that I mentioned earlier, which came out at the same time, was Cruel Intentions, which I rewatched recently, and fuck me, that is problematic. There's not only the rampant homophobia that is thrown around left, right, and centre, but then and a bit of racism that's thrown in, though, just kind of as a bit, but also just very early on. I mean, this woman has revenge porn, this young girl has revenge porn, done against her, or becomes a victim of revenge porn, and her own mother blames her for it. And of course, the film portrays it like the freaking guy who did it was just, oh, harmless prankster, I'm going to be on his side, and, oh, fucking hell. I mean, that film has not aged well, and it is fucking problematic. Yeah, like I say, problematic. I don't know what other word to say about it, really.
I think a lot of youth films can be said as problematic there, although... Yeah.
What?
Maybe I got myself lost for words a little bit, because I know I've hinted at some of the other ones that I grew up in my generation, but I can't speak on Cruel Intentions that well, because I know Selma Blair's in it, who now has multiple sclerosis. I couldn't watch that film as a kid, weirdly enough, even though I wanted to see it because Selma Blair was in it, who I had a big crush on growing up. Always liked that sort of mysterious dark-haired lady with the bob cut. That's a kind of a stereotype I'm sure Skinny E Media fans will probably have picked up on over the years.
Well, they may have. I don't know if I... Did I pick up on that? I probably didn't, but some are more eagle-eyed people, or eagle-eared, if such a thing, might have picked up on it. I don't know. What film did you say again? I completely forgot now.
I was just referencing that, given how much I talk about Pulp Fiction, I'm sure some people probably picked up on, oh, you only like her because as the bobbed head lady with the dark bobbed hair.
But what was the film that you couldn't see that had Selma Blair in?
It was Cruel Intentions.
Oh, right. Oh, Christ. Yeah, but that came out like 1999. You would have been six. I mean, I'm surprised you were even aware it was a thing.
Well, it's because Sky Box Office, I used to check on the listings all the time on, oh, what's playing on this channel? Oh, what's playing on here? And they always show the trailers on the TV spots for certain films that I was sort of curious to see, but for some reason I wasn't old enough to. That's how I got into trouble for watching South Park, because they had sort of like a 5-minute preview of it before you had to like pay about $2.99 and watch the entire movie. And I got caught by my parents for watching a 15 certificate animation when I must have been like 6 or 7 years old. And that moment in my life haunted me for the rest of my life. Now, I could debate whether South Park Bigger, Longer, and Uncut is a youth film or not, but I think it is. It may involve children, but who's the likely audience for something like that?
It's
15 years old.
Well, I mean, it's, yeah, I suppose. I mean, the main characters are kids, so it's probably view of kids, whether or not... Yeah, so I get... Yeah, I think by any particular... by any particular metric, it does count, yes.
You know, animation, especially the adult cartoons and stuff, and anime as well. There's a lot of teenagers who will watch it anyways, even if it's not age-appropriate for them. I don't feel I need to go into that conversation, because I think it's already sort of general nature, people know that I saw Simpsons since I was like 5 or 6 years old, and I saw Elf and Lied at 14, and Waltz with Bashir.
I think there's a perfectly decent ages to be reasonable ages to be watching those sort of programs, Mark. I don't think anyone's going to have any problem with that.
Well, you know how my paranoia is. The government's going to find a way to get me simply because they think I was corrupted. I've actually got into trouble, weirdly enough. I know The Simpsons is not youth-based, but I bought like a lunchbox to school that had the characters on it, and they said, oh, you shouldn't be letting your child watch that at that age. Even though it was a PG, sometimes 12, must have been like back in 1998, 1999. My mother just said to the headmaster, oh, he doesn't watch it. We don't allow him to watch it at home. So there was a sort of weird dichotomy or maybe lie that was sort of spurred around. But, you know, at that time, especially in 2000, most of the kids who I was growing up with was fucking South Park. And they must have been at least like 7 or 6. I wish I could have saw it at 6 or 7. You know what age I saw South Park Big and Long and Uncut? Guess.
Well, you've been 6 when it came out, so 6, 7, 8. I mean, how the hell would I know? I mean, just, yeah, what age was it?
Outside of being caught and getting into trouble with my parents for watching a sneak preview of it, I actually saw the whole movie when I was 17. I know, how sad is that?
But, well, considering I was 14 when I saw it at the cinema, twice, thanks to my mate Ben, yeah. I mean, you see things when you see things, Mark. I mean, I don't think anyone's going to hold against you. I mean, the amount of shit I've basically been announcing to on Twitter that I hadn't seen before. No, not Twitter, Facebook even, that I hadn't seen before when I was watching them, mostly due lockdown. And people just saying, you have to be taking a piss that like you haven't seen this film and countless others by this point. I mean, and yeah, I mean, I probably could have been watching those films if I wasn't watching Jurassic Park or Die Hard for the umpteenth time. But, I mean, that's off topic. Where were we again? I can't freaking remember.
Well, I know we were talking about Cruel Intentions. Sorry if we got off in a tangent for anyone who's out there. But, yes, a lot of problematic youth films, as we would speak. I know a lot of people like to go on about the American ones. I know Canada did Porky's. That was quite problematic.
Yeah. That's the Mike Hunt prank call in it, though. That's quite funny. I haven't seen Porky's, but...
Well, so mainly just, you know how young men are. Voyeurs peeping in women's bathrooms saying, hey, she's gonna get naked, bro.
I mean, yeah, that is...
It's like the Fast Times at Ridgemont High thing. Everyone knows about the Phoebe Cates scene. I mean... I think we're all guilty of watching it a bit too closely there.
Well, again, I haven't seen that film, so again, I can't comment.
Well, talk to someone who's from Generation X, and they'll tell you a few horror stories. Actually, let me sort of rewind that back a little bit. There are PG and U certificate teen films that do exist. I mean... How can I forget in my bloody head Wayne's World? Right in time! Excellent!
And Bill and Ted.
Yeah. I'm a little surprised that they are PGs because they don't exactly appeal to children, but they're more appealing for like that sort of 14 to 25 age group.
Well, the one that Bill and Ted Face for Music, although whether or not that still counts as a teen film, I don't know, now that they're well into their 50s, that was PG-13 in America, but still got a PG in Britain. So, I mean... And it's not like they were mild PGs or anything. I mean, they do, at least for the second Bill and Ted film, the Most Bogus Journey one, they do throw... he says things like dickweed quite flippantly. And if we're talking about problematic stuff, the word, the F-word slur is... it is thrown around quite a bit.
Well, unfortunately, I was pretty much de jure. Even for us early and late millennials like ourselves, anytime someone would try to say, oh, I like pop music, they'd call you that, teasing schoolyard, not rubbish. Oh. But yes, sorry for anyone who's listening there. Do you want me to put the headphones on instead?
Aren't you wearing them in general?
No, I thought it might be easier.
I always wear the headphones and the speaker. Yeah, always put the headphones on to get rid of background noise.
All right, then. We apologize for any technical interruptions on this broadcast. I'm sure we'll remedy it very quickly. Better?
Well, I won't. Well, I mean, it sounds better. We'll soon see how it goes. Probably might want to edit this bit out. But yes. Anyway, as you were.
But yes, that always surprised me a little bit there. That Wayne's one was PG because now looking at it, I mean, in retrospective, it actually is quite rude. I think there was a joke about blowing goats.
Oh yeah, I remember that
take
one.
That as you will.
I cannot believe. it does actually raise a question, because it's not like PG-13 wasn't well established by that point. You'd be surprised such a thing could get into a PG-rated film. Especially when a film, I suppose, actually, no, I suppose a film like Arachnophobia would have to be, I mean, obviously Memoirs of Invisible Man would be, because that's got an F-bomb in it, which had to be cut out over here. And yeah, they came out the same year. I mean, Jurassic Park is PG-13, but PG here. But then again, that's the off topic. Also, in terms of problematic issues with in teen films, one that's a bit more recent is Superbad, where, like, basically Jonah Hill's character wants to get Emma Stone's whole mission is to basically ply Emma Stone's character with alcohol so she gets drunk so she'll have sex with him. I know we tend to, like, frame it as, oh, if she gets drunk, she might just have sex with have sex with you to lower inhibitions. But if he's deliberately trying to get her drunk so he can, I mean, that is pretty date rapey.
Oh, absolutely. But yeah, this is 2007 we're talking about, where...
Yeah, much more recent than the likes of American Pie and shit. I mean, sure, I mean, it's now 16 years ago, which is... oh, God, that makes me feel so old. It's a year after I finished uni. But I guess time has moved on. But I'm 14 by then, the idea of getting a woman drunk specifically so you could shag her is... I don't know, you'd have thought we'd have moved on by that point. But, you know, didn't mean to interrupt you, carry on.
No, but a lot of these films sort of rely on sort of outrage humor, sort of cringe comedy. I'm In Between Us sort of exploited upon this. I know I seem to go on about In Between Us a lot. I apologize.
You clearly watched it quite a lot.
No, I did, because I was a lonely adolescent who thought watching a show about four guys who are horny, you know, in the same way that Rick Marlin and Nate Edmondson, they were always trying to search for some scram. But they sort of failed in their plans. So it's just a bit more of a 16 to 25 demographic type of take upon something like this with In Between Us. Date rape is not cool. It never is. Sensuality in the romance. So the only film I can think of that sort of plays upon that as a teen film.
It is.
It does not exist. It probably is like a French film for like Catherine Breillat, who's done some very hardcore type stuff that probably would never be a 15, maybe very likely be 18 certificate on those grounds. Well, are you aware of any sort of teen films that are youth certificate?
I've not heard of any, at least. If anyone knows of any, please do put them in the comments. The handful of people that actually might be in the audience might be watching this. But I cannot think of any on the top of my head.
Whisper of the Heart and The Cat Returns. Studio Ghibli, done Spirited Away.
Those are more kids' films. And we're talking about like films that are specifically for, you know, adolescents and specifically with about the adolescent youth experience. Not, because well, I've I'll seen put, both those.
Because the characters are 14 in those.
If you're, all right, if you say so. I mean, I've only seen both films once, or quite recently, but, I haven't seen The Cat Returns. I don't think I have seen that one. But I've seen Whisper of the Heart. Oh, fudge. What happened to that one? I keep getting it mixed up with Kiki's Delivery Service. I suppose there's a bit of youth stuff going on. If we're talking about anime films, I mean, was that film? That film Susume that came out recently, and most of the other ones that are like it, such as Your Name and Weathering With You, are very much about very much youth things. Always sort of slice of life anime stuff. But they're all PG rated, so, or no, some are 12 even. So yeah, I don't have any of that. I can't think of any that are U rated.
Well, those are the ones I can think of on a sort of level that appeals to the youth market that is appropriate for the youngest audience possible. I mean, it's almost like a little step below those Jane Austen dramas that you sometimes get every now and then that come out in the cinema, like Pride and Prejudice, Love and Friendship, and Emma. Those were you certificates. But do you know any 5-year-olds who want to go see Veronica, Love and
Friendship? Sorry, what did you just say?
I'm trying to speak like a 5-year-old girl who wants her parent to take her to go see Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah, I can't imagine they would, that would be particularly on their, that's something they'd be particularly desperate to see.
No, but, you know, on the flip side of that, I'm sure there were a lot of upset teenagers who were angry that they couldn't go see Project X when that came out in 2012. I must have been 19 when that film came out, so I was a little bit above the audience demographic for something like that, but because I like in-betweeners, I thought, and because it was an 18, so I thought, all right, let's go see it. It's, if it was a 15, I probably would not have blinked an eye too much, but you actually got an 18 certificate because the drug use was just...
I can clinch it.
In the same way that the drug movie 13, which depicted young people getting high off like solvents or some sort of ecstasy tablets or something, that got an 18 certificate for those very reasons. The easiest way for a teen movie to get an 18 is mainly because of a mix of between sex and or drug use.
And suicide references.
Oh, of course.
I think the sex can actually not... keep it at 15, as we've mentioned with most of these teen sex comedies from America. I've just realized, we're talking about 18 rings and drug stuff and everything. The two biggest that are going to come to my mind, and they're both British ones, are Train Spotting and, of course, Human Traffic. I haven't seen the former, I have seen the latter. Twice.
Well, I actually love those movies particularly. I love Train Spotting because the soundtrack. It's a bit debatable whether it is a youth film because the kind of people who went to see it, at least growing up in the cinema, were usually in their 20s. I wanted to see it when it came out or when I saw it on the telly, but I couldn't because my parents wouldn't let me, even though it had some cool-ass music. But well, yes, it was the drug use, and I think there was lots of C words and a sex...
It could have been, but it's mostly the drug usage, just like it is would have been with... Human Traffic. Although, I mean, it was much more C words in, but... Now, it is mostly the drug use. I watched Human Traffic again just quite recently. It's a hard film to watch sober. You see all these people just getting fucked up left, right, and center on everything they can and just like, give me some of that. Yeah, it just at the time I was watching it, of course, I didn't even have any beer in the house. So it's like, well, it's quite hard going.
Well, this is where we tend to differ audience-wise. Rob's a little bit more open to experimenting. Can I say that politely? Me, on the other hand, the most I'll do is probably just have a Bailey's on the rocks. I find it difficult to watch stuff inebriated or even using illegal substances. I mean, I could listen to Pink Floyd's The Wall or Dark Side of the Moon and not have to smoke a joint. I know in California it's legal, but I've never had the desire to hit it up. And most teens, at least when they were growing up, always wanted to hit it up. I knew someone who, when I was at university, it must have been like 20 or something, which you could consider youth, but that's not really teenage, that's young adulthood.
Well, some
cannabis.
Well, we still consider a university experience to be youth. Like we mentioned Animal House later on, and that's set at a university.
Oh, yes. It was a AA certificate, which was pretty much engineered by the BBFC to appeal to that teen audience. But it's a standard 15 anyway. So the sex comedies nowadays are much stronger than Animal House could ever be. But it's a bit of offensive by today's standards because of some of the racial humour.
And the scene where that pissed up girl is completely inebriated and out of it on his bed and the little... the little devil comes up that guy's shoulder and just tries to convince him to take her, basically to assault her, essentially, and while she's unconscious. Then, of course, the freaking angel comes and says not to, and it's all played for laughs. And I haven't seen plays out, but I'm guessing, obviously, he doesn't. But it doesn't change the fact that, like, they talked about quite a quite a horrible act, quite a toxic and insidious act of, well, sexual assault, which doesn't, or rape, which doesn't, don't get much more, don't doesn't get much worse than that. Try to play it off for laughs.
Unfortunately, I might have been a bit guilty about laughing at scenes of a nature like that. Didn't pick up on the super bad one. It's been a long time, but Adam Whitehouse and Revenge of the Nerds, I'm a bit guilty of laughing. I think part of it is because it has that sort of bawdy teen comedy aspect to it. It kind of removes the layer a little bit from some of the offensive nature, because had it played straight, if this was like a serious drama, like American History X or like I'll Sleep When I'm Dead, then I would have had nightmares in the same way I have nightmares about seeing Paul Bettany whipping himself. But I'm not going to go into that. Please don't.
Meant to ask, had you read The Da Vinci Code before you saw it at the cinema?
I read the book 4 years after I saw the film in the cinema. Nearby a canal.
Right, well, that's, I actually had read the book before I saw it at the cinema, so I was actually aware of what I was going to see. Then again, I was 21 when I saw it at the cinema, whereas you would have been 13, so it was a bit of a difference.
Well, yes, of course, but I was awfully sheltered, really, if you could
count. Really? You wouldn't notice?
Well, I did watch Wild Wild West in the cinema illegally with my father when I was, must have been 6 or something, and I was 12, when 12 meant you had to be 12. I always think of myself as older than what I actually am. I actually envy you on this regard, because I do wish I was old and I could have seen all these dirty movies like you did. It would have been so cool to watch American Pie at the cinema.
Yeah, but you were I didn't see American Pie at the cinema. Me and my mate rented it later on that year from a local local video rental store. So watched it that way. I was still 14. My mate was 15. Actually, probably just turned 16, actually. So yeah, we got a. Yeah, I watched it that way. I didn't see it at the cinema.
Well, that's what it's all about, you know. When you're young, you do dangerous stuff. I've done a few naughty things myself. Although, in all fairness, I know I'm getting off on personal topics, but it's sort of for humour purposes. I mean, I saw 9 songs. I was like 20 or something when I saw that. I know most people watch their first porno much younger than that. I didn't. 9 songs, which has full-blown sex scenes and stuff, I saw when I was, must have been like 20 or something. I saw Shame. Actually, bad example. I'll skip.
Well, no, never.
But British. Well, actually, I will ask you. If I don't get into trouble for this, what was your first porno you watched? You must have been at least before 19 or 20.
I couldn't tell you the first. Well, I mean, I don't know, to be honest. I mean, I can't remember its name, and I don't think anyone would know its name anyway, so I don't know if really that will answer the question.
We used to sneak FHM or magazines of FHM or nuts.
Well, my brothers always had Loaded and FHM in their rooms, so I'd basically read them when they weren't around. But then again, there's not much really going on in there. It's just you see some titties, and that's about it.
Hey, you're not alone. I actually had a copy of SFX anime, which has some breasts in it. I got in trouble for bringing that in the school, weirdly enough. I was 13 when I got that magazine. I bought it underage. My mother standing around at Borders. One of the best gifts I ever got. So that was... You could count that as almost pseudo-porn, but I don't know if anime is porn, but...
Well, I mean, hentai is considered to be porno anime, so there's that, I guess. But again, we're getting off topic here.
I used to watch FHM Music TV when I was like 13 and 12. They had it like after it used to be Q, which is a rock magazine TV station. It came to FHM like around 7 or 8 o'clock at night. I used to watch that. So I've got a bit of a dangerous streak about me. Although right. Many people will not like that, which the reason why I also said that was because the film that made me like my favorite teen movie Not only Edward Scissorhands, but Kevin and Perry Go Large.
Oh, yeah, forget that cast as a teen movie. Forget about that. Even though Harry Enfield and Kathy Burke were clearly well over their teen years and clearly looked it.
Oh, no, I mean, absolutely. But, you know, this is kind of part of their little sketch thing that they did. Was it for ITV, I believe?
BBC, I think. And yes, in case you're wondering, yes, I did see that movie at the cinema.
You badass! I'm jealous of you because I saw that at 17. I got a copy of it on DVD from a porn broker. Oh, P-A-W-N, not P-O-R-N.
Yeah, we know what you mean, okay? You don't have to elaborate.
I thought it was the funniest movie I ever saw. Also because it's got a lot of electronic music, which I'm also a fan of. But did you know, for anyone who's out there, it was actually meant to be a 12 certificate. Even though there's a lot of scenes of erections and implied fellatio and some grinding and bumping, and a scene where Kev accidentally swallows a turd in the sea, which that's more than watching this guy get an erection.
Considering Harry Enfield wanted a 12 rating, but apparently the BBFC gave a 15 for the descriptive drug usage in the film and everything, which is what they claim is what pushed it over. Apparently everything else in the film would have passed that 12, including the free uses of the F word.
Well, I'm very surprised by that, really, because when I saw it, I picked up on the sex references being quite overt. They actually gave it an 18 in Ireland on DVD, but you don't really see popping erections in 12 films.
That's quite weird. Forget about that one.
So that a little caught me by surprise. Then there was some sort of bumping and grinding, and then there's a joke where Kathy Burke, God bless her, says, "Spunk!" And it looks like jism is shot onto the car window, but it's actually the washing cars. But that was a bit gross. But
yeah, there's quite a lot of that. I'm surprised he thought he would have got a 12 rating, but apparently the BBFC said that wasn't what gave it a 15. According to the viewing certificate bit on Wikipedia, Harry Enfield suspected that the two uses of the word fuck, they're actually free, all by Reese Ethans, were the cause of the film's BBFC rating being a 15 rather than targeted 12. He revealed that in the film's audio commentary that the 15 was given because a scene where a group of men took drugs, although contradictory, according to the BBFC guidelines, scenes of drug taken often breach the rules of a 12-rated film. But it does say contradictory, so I don't know what.
Well, that's a little bit bullshit, really, because I've seen some 12 films that get away with quite a bit of substance abuse. Social Network, which is on some level a youth film, Zuckerberg, that had quite a full-on scene of cocaine use, and they snort up a woman's bare torso. So there's that weird sexual element plus the drug use, hard drug use, that felt a little bit disorienting and watching a 12. Had it been 15, I would not have blinked an eye.
And one of the BBFC guidelines for Ken Perry says, pass 15 for frequent moderate sexual references and infrequent strong language. No, that pretty makes sense. I mean, it could have been, but that was a good funny film. I didn't really like the whole Ibiza dance rave culture and everything, because obviously I'm more into my metal and everything like that. Even though back then I wasn't as metal as I became in my later years. I was just thinking, on the subject of, back to American Pie, because that started a new wave of raunchy teen sex comedies and everything. Have you seen Road Trip and the later one, Euro Trip?
Euro Trip, I have.
Scully doesn't know. Scully doesn't know.
Matt Damon in a surprisingly comedic role. That caught me by surprise. But the scene that I'm sort of stuck in my memory was them going to Amsterdam and having space cakes, which you can always get at a coffee shop with cannabis. Now it's a bit more restricted, but back then, it was more.
Well, I went in 2012 and I got nicely stoned.
And he gets like something stuck up his ass, which looked like something that was a bit floppy, like a fan, which I thought, oh, but it's fine at 15, at least considering a lot of sex comedies about young people usually are 15.
Oh, yeah, totally. There are a few of the directed video or directed DVD American Pie films that got slapped with 18s rather than 15s, but I don't consider that to be here or there right now. Eurotrip was quite funny. Obviously, they brought back, they got Sean William Scott for just to redo, just to do another version of Steve Stifler and everything, and that became clear he was becoming typecast.
I think that kind of happened up until he did Role Models and Goon. He's always played that sort of, yeah, look at me, I'm a dude. Jason even has that problem. He hasn't sort of broke out of that shell a bit. People always think of him as...
the pie fucker.
Pie, dude.
Oh, you're the guy that fucked the pie. See? Look at me, I'm the pie fucker. If, of course, you haven't seen Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, you might not get her. Get that joke. Yeah,
I've seen Jay and Silent Bob. I've seen Dogma and Clerks 1 and 2. Those, you could say they're youth films. Are they?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, obviously Jay and Silent Bob did try to pander to, or like mark yourself to that sort of demographic, because you could see up here, there was Sean William Scott, there was Jason Biggs, Shannon Elizabeth, Mark Blucas, and Eliza Dushku, for many people from stuff such as American Pie and Buffy were in it. So, yeah, and of course, Alison Hannigan was in both those things. That's, I think, yeah, I don't know if Jay and Silent Bob really deserved its 18 rating. I don't personally think it did. Maybe I just thought the BBFC were being zealous at the time, being, and most of Kevin Smith's films that were rated 18 at the time have been dropped to 15s now, but I don't think that, but this one doesn't seem to have been, seems to have been so. Maybe that's to come. It might do. I don't know.
I think Jane Silent Bob Strike Back would be a 15 unconditionally. I think they probably gave it at the time, and this is when it was Robin Duvall, no James Furman, probably because of the drug humor.
There's not that much drug humor anyway. Well, I mean, there's a bit, but it's not that much. You never see him doing any drugs or anything. But if they do see drugs, it's only just mild shit like cannabis, which has never basically not been allowed at 15.
Well, I've seen it even one or two PGs and a surprising number of 12s. There was even a movie called Golden Star, which was about people trying to rob a bank. That had a scene where he was smoking a doobie at like a dispenser. Yeah. He was like, ooh, that's some good shit. Now, speaking as someone who's partially American and lived in a state where it is legal for all reasons since 2016, the British censors have to sort of relax a bit, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to cannabis use, because you know, having noticed films like Reincarnated, which is 18, and then the Harold and Kumar movies, Guantanamo Bay and A Fairy Harold and Kumar Christmas, they all got 18s because it showed people just hitting it up. Come on, let's hit it up.
Harold and Kumar Escape to Guantanamo Bay was an 18, but the previous one, the Go to White Castle or Get the Munchies, as it is over here, was just a 15.
That is true. Guantanamo Bay, I think, had a little bit more going on. I think there was sort of some overt nudity that was maybe a little too much lingered on. But in all fairness, if you took that out, I wouldn't rule it out at 15. I think most 15-year-olds know the difference between smoking cannabis at the house versus smoking it in a public setting or in school or wherever. Kids know a lot more shit nowadays than ever. We saw hinted at this earlier on.
Well, that is true. I'm trying to think of like modern teen movies that come out nowadays. And if one I think I've actually seen is Booksmart, which came out recently. I'm trying to think if I've seen any others, but nothing's coming to my mind. And that was classic R/15 material. I don't think there was ever going to be doubts about that. But just realizing they are becoming a lot more intelligent than they used to be.
Well, and of course, they're trying to that hipster crowd. A24's been making a lot of these youth films.
Well, also, I don't so much mean that. I meant it's being a bit more better representative, and they're trying to weed out any sort of problematic issue. Obviously, they're trying to focus it more from women and both ethnic and sexual minorities, rather than the point of view of a white cishet male.
Exactly. I mean, he's like, dude, he's talking about sex and getting high, man. And why do they always sound like they're from California, dude?
Oh, they always go for the valley guy or valley dude surfer thing. I don't know why they do. They just do. Maybe generally tend to set them in California anyway. So, I mean, you know, that.
Because most of my favorite teen movies have all been more or less British ones, you know. Like Kevin and Perry Go Large and In Between Us. I also like Blinded by the Light, which was a 12 certificate film about a South Asian bloke who lives in Luton, who's must be like 16 or something, and he turns to Bruce Springsteen songs to try to get out of his poverty and the sort of racism that he's been dealing with. You could show that to almost anyone, really. I think it's a great movie. It's not vulgar or crass like most teen movies are nowadays. You could say
I didn't really start finished. I mean, you may be right.
Diary of a Teenage Girl. Oh my, how could I forget that one? 18 certificate. They tried to appeal for a lower rating, but it was rejected by the BBFC because they thought the sexual themes and imagery was a bit too frank and incessant, despite the fact that there was some sort of campaign going around that they were treating a movie about a girl's sexual experience much differently than a boy's sexual experience. They treated the ones that were about teenage boys quite loosely, and they were a little bit more relaxed.
That was
the story I heard about from a few years ago. My father saw it in the cinema because I was bored. It was like, oh, you should hear about this article about this teen movie getting an 18, and they lost the appeal by the BBFC because of the sexism. So BBFC's got some skeletons in its closet.
That is true. No? That is true. I remember one film that came out recently, but I can't remember its name. I could just look it up, but it was a teen film, and it was going for a 12 rating. It had to be cut to get a 12 rating, but the stuff I left in that I cut out, I left it in, it would be rated 18 because it was suicide.
Was that called Every Day?
It may be. I could be. I don't know. I kept thinking it was going to be 13 Reasons Why, but that was a TV series.
That's really unusual. I mean, I saw a DVD a few days ago that was in a charity shop. It was called Midnight Sun. And it got a 12 certificate for underage drinking. The content descriptor on the little dialogue box where it says the 12 actually made me laugh a little bit, because underage drinking, alcohol issues aren't really something that the BBFC generally will note on. And it comes, I really noticed that one was like Flight and probably The Rock of Ages.
Very possible. Yeah, it is Every Day. It was cut to get a... it was cut. Yeah, the suicide techniques. It was cut out to get a 12A rating. If left uncut, it would have been rated 18. So it basically would have jumped two ratings. So it,
Yeah, that's very unusual. I've never heard of something quite like that, but I do think there was a Bollywood film that happened for similar reasons. I think that the issues where a 12 film was going to be threatened with an 18, I think mainly had to do with the suicide content. With a PG-13 movie, and it was like 18 certificate in the UK, and it had like Selena Gomez, and I was like, what?
Yeah, oh, that's true. It reminds me of with Eat, Pray, Love, which was PG-13 in America, uncut, And there was one use of word motherfucker in, which would have given it a 15 over here. They cut that out and it dropped to a PG. I mean, yeah, just two whole ratings because of, and all that just because of one separate word, but we're getting off topic here, I think.
Well, I mean, that's a movie for, like, grandparents and older ladies who go to the society club. But, yeah, that's a really unusual sort of rating sleep. But then again, I always obsess over how I wish Jaws was given a 15, even though it was for so long.
I don't think it should be. I mean, it's always quite interesting what PG would have actually meant back then. It's like, yeah, this isn't necessarily a kid's film. You can show quite a bit, which I think is always quite based. And obviously, we wouldn't expect a PG nowadays, but then it would be rated 12. And I'd probably rate PG-13 in America. I don't think it should be rated 15.
Well, we beg to differ, really. We beg to differ. Sorry about this. Just have to leave something right here. But yes, as far as I'm concerned, well, actually, sorry, I got myself lost in a little bit of a tangent there because I overheard someone was speaking to me. But have you ever thought about teen dramas that deal with, let's say, school violence, like Elephant, which is a 15, or Heathers, which was an 18 for so long, but they got a 15?
I've seen Heathers recently, and of course, that came out in the 80s. Obviously, it was a very pre-Columbine-style film, which Cracked.com mentioned it about, did mention on. I didn't really think much about Heathers, to be honest, really. I mean, it is what it is, but obviously it's a good reflection of how she thinks this guy's a totally cool, interesting rebel, only to find out that he is absolutely fucking nuts. But, yeah, that is... I haven't seen the other one. What was the other one you mentioned again?
Elephant.
I know about it. I haven't seen it. It's about the Columbine shooting, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. That's a movie kind of like every other 15 film I talk about. Redacted. Dog Soldiers. That's too strong for its rating, I think, probably because it was too realistic and it's shown quite callous scenes of violence with some bloody detail. And the fact that it dealt with Columbine, which was still a taboo thing in the early 2000s and late 90s, where you had a lot of video games having to be threatened with censorship or they couldn't release or had to tone down some advice on certain films because of moral panic.
Well, yeah, because everyone, something like this happened, if they weren't blaming rock music like Marilyn Manson or hip-hop music or something like that, they'd blame on violent video games. They say this every fucking time. I mean, there is no evidence to back it up. Us outside of America are always saying, hey, America, we have violent video games. We have angry rock music. We've got all violent movies. I mean, we don't have this level of gun violence. What do you think the difference is? In fact, I remember I even mentioned this on our first podcast, the one we did with Tom.
Yep.
How something like Hungerford in the UK or frickin' Columbine in America would basically happen, and all the moral guardians would get up in a tizzy about it and start saying it's violence in movies and everything, and we shouldn't be so permissive or anything. You know, people like Mary Whitehouse and Jack Thompson and all those other cunts start blithering on about all their stupid things, using pop culture as a scapegoat. But then you have dickheads like James Furman and Jack Valenti and whatnot who just, yeah, who swallow that line whole and then just start messing up everything. I mean, it's not surprising that after Columbine, the MPAA did cut down quite heavily the amount of violence they'd allow in an R rating. That called that out. They chilled out on that a bit later on. But it's not surprising that Valentine, which came out that year, which is an R-rated slasher film, managed to get away with a 15 over here. I mean, one people might say the reason why so many of these R-rated films managed to get away with 15s over here rather than the usual 18s is because the MPAA was really not permitting as much violence as they used to at R. And of course, we've all mentioned what James Furman did to Rambo 3 after Hungerford.
Butchering up like a mother. You thought you were in a sushi restaurant there for a second.
Yeah. Also, if we're talking about things that deal, teen programs that deal with issues and everything, and we have dealt with, we have talked about that. You know, of course, being a teen TV show, being a teen program, they would need to deal with this. Have you ever watched Never Have I Ever?
Is it a little like Grange Hill? Or...
Well, it's on Netflix. It's American. It's set in... certain America. It's done by... Mindy Kaling, who was the American version. Pardon?
I've heard of her. Mindy Project.
Yeah, and she was on The American Office and everything. But it's about this teenaged Indian American girl called Davy, who goes to this local school, and she has some friends and everything, and she has a reputation of being quite crazy. And as Siri goes on, you start to realize, oh god, she's not as likable as she presents herself to begin with. But the second one, where this other Indian girl joins a school, and she and Davy feels threatened by her, so she starts a rumor that she not deliberately though, I mean, but then starts a rumor that the girl might have an eating disorder, might be bulimic, only it turns out to be true. And and of course at the end of the season or episodes, they do have a little PSA or little notice at the end saying, if any of you guys are anybody's having issues with bulimia or any eating disorders, feel free, call this number and feel free to talk to someone about it.
That's reminding me of a weird flashback I had with a particular anime that had that disclaimer saying, if you're a victim of rape or sexual abuse, call this number. EastEnders used to do that a lot whenever they had an episode that dealt with domestic abuse or suicide. They would always put the disclaimer. It freaks me out when I see that, but it's well-intentioned.
Well, yeah, obviously, but of course they want to make sure that people, well, I say they want to make sure that people who watch it are getting the help they need. Probably they're doing it in there more to cover their arse and everything, but obviously they want to show some level of social responsibility about this. And so they do put that in there. That could be more to get moral guardians off their backs, but either way, they're going to do it, and it might be irresponsible for them not to do it.
Well, even if I was a filmmaker, I would have to still put content disclaimers for anything I do, really. I even have to do one of the short film I made and submit to some festivals because it shows me naked. And
I do not want to know about that, dude.
Well, that's another story there. But you could say the same on the flip side about another youth project that's quite popular with young people called Jackass, which is mainly 18 certificate because of the stunts. I've always been sort of very extreme, very crude.
Yeah, it's not so much a youth film though, because like it's all grown men, and it's not a film or TV show that's about, you know, life growing up. Not one of those slice of life things. That's about a bunch of teens or adolescents or whatever term you want to use, and their coming of age and shit like that. We could cover most of Stephen King stuff. We talk about that stuff. That particular topic and subject matter.
Oh my. Well, I was just saying in this correspondence, because I know a lot of young people love Jackass. I don't know if it's as popular nowadays, considering people just watch YouTube, but that's another thing that I sort of recall back from my early years. As some people are really obsessed with that show, and they were doing this sort of tongue-in-cheek style, like, don't let your little buddies attempt these stunts for people getting crocodiles eating their testicles or bug zappers up their nipples. Stupid as shit. I hate that show. But, I know, I'm getting a little bit in the tangent myself. I know how I mentioned about Elephant
Heathers. I thought the government was out to get me, really, because I was seeing a movie that was about school shootings. Utopia on Channel 4. That was an 80s certificate for simple piece of a scene where a man is shooting at school.
Well, I've watched... I've watched that, and I watched the American remake on Amazon Prime, which is nowhere near as good. But to be honest, if we're going to talk about stuff that's aimed at youth, we can also pretty much talk about Harry Potter and Twilight.
Later,
and all this young adult stuff that's come out, because that's, again, aimed at that sort of age group, and the protagonists are usually around that age, and usually going through a coming-of-age narrative. So, I mean, yeah, that's subject matter that can be included in this podcast.
Easily there. Now, from my experience, Harry Potter is sort of on that bridge territory, because maybe like 1 and 2, 1, 2 and 3, obviously the PG ones, they're all sort of safe PGs, probably strong PGs nowadays, but the, you know, Goblet of Fire and onward, all 12s. That was actually kind of a big deal at the time, because I did see Goblet of Fire when I was 12, and it made me feel happy about that, because had it not been 12, I would have been upset in the same way that I couldn't see South Park when I was a kid at the cinema. Not as controversial as some of the other ones we can talk about, but I know in terms of the horror elements, some people did not respond to Harry Potter very well because they thought it was too scary. I know my mother was freaked out by Prisoner of Azkaban, some of the transformations, but the one that comes to mind was like Deathly Hallows Part 1. I know J.K. Rowling's a transphobe, but that's beside the point. There was that weird little sex scene that occurred between a ghost form of Hermione and Harry, sort of making love, and Ron, or Rupert Grint, is all jealous about it. And I think there's even on Part 2, used the word bitch. That was the strongest word you could get away with at a Harry Potter level. And there are some more intense scenes of violence.
I remember one film, I can't remember which one it was, had Ron saying piss off and everything. I guess that's mean they were trying to.
I think that was the slightly too, like Philosopher's Stone and
Chains. No, it was one of the later ones. It wasn't Philosopher's Stone, that was the one. But that's meant to be something that Harry Potter was maturing, I suppose. Also, don't really want to get too much. Also, we can't talk about Harry Potter without mentioning that J.K. Rowling is a transphobic piece of shit, and let's not forget it.
Even with her fame and her supposedly liberal points of view, people can slip up. I know I have, but she'll regret saying what she said, because a lot of her fan base is young people. There's even Gen Z who reads Harry Potter. Can you believe that? It's not us millennials who are all obsessed by it.
I mean, obviously I wasn't obsessed with it as much when I was when it came out. I was more in the Lord of the Rings crowd, but yeah, as for Twilight, I mean, less said about that, the better, really. It probably didn't deserve the backlash that it got at the time being, because a lot of that was motivated by misogyny and ageism, basically the hatred of teenage girls. But, geez, I think it's all fair to say that, yeah, Twilight isn't good, and it does have some rather harsh messages in it, like believing that Bella and Edward's relationship are somehow is so romantic and such a great... just the perfect love story, when really it's nothing short of an abusive relationship.
Well, I can't speak for Twilight very well, because the only ones I have seen... Actually, I feel kind of guilty even saying that. People will laugh at me because I saw Twilight and New Moon. I only saw it because it was on TV and it was something to kill time. But the one that sort of comes to my memory is Breaking Dawn Part 1, which I know had to be censored a little bit because of an intense scene of childbirth, and there was also a sex scene that, you know how PG-13 was a little bit careful about showing that sort of thing. I think this one's a little bit more aggressive than what you normally would expect. I think they only let it slip past is because of the fantasy elephant, and is also because it's quite a known
problem. Well, apparently one of them had to have a sex scene cut down over here to avoid a 15, which is weird, because if it got away with it in a PG-13, you'd thought the BBFC would have been cool with it, but I don't know, really.
Now and again, the BBFC can appear more puritanical than our American counterparts. Weird as it may seem, I mean, a lot of like sort of PG-13 sort of dude body comedies like Night at the Roxbury and Dude, Where's My Car? Those are kind of youth movies. They were 15s. They weren't 12s. Weirdly enough.
Dude, Where's My Car was a 15, wasn't it?
Yep. And for a long time, I always thought that movie was R-rated. So that's probably why I didn't watch it growing up. But
yeah.
It actually is PG-13, even though it shares the same rating as American Pie and Animal House.
Over here, I know, but just, I think the BBFC just gave it a 15 because of references to drugs. But yeah, that's a stupid decision of them. I mean,
it's no more offensive than Without a Paddle or Mr. Woodcock.
Well, yeah, obviously. I haven't seen that.
Very rude for a 12. That's one I don't think is a youth movie. But it is hilarious. But Without a Paddle is a little bit ruder. I mean, I'm a bit worried a film like that would be a 15, because you used to get away with a lot more sexual humor in 12 movies back in the good old days than you could now. Imagine what Anchorman or Dodgeball would be by today's standards, because Anchorman can get kind of rude at places.
Well, yeah, it certainly can be. It can. I think Anchorman came with its theatrical version, which is PG-13/12A rated, but then his extended version, which is R/15 rated. I don't know. I think it is. I can't quite remember. I could just Google it on my phone, but I'm probably not gonna. Yeah. So have we encapsulated everything we need to talk about right now?
As far as I'm concerned, I would say we have, because I know adolescent movies are sort of a large minefield. I mean, we could even have talked about Rebel Without a Cause, which was sort of the earliest example of when the film censors really don't like a movie that deals with young people's problems. That actually got a lot of trouble. And they had... Sorry. If you have a curry, you'll burp every now and again. For its X, they ultimately downgraded to AA in the 70s, but it's been a PG since like the 80s and 90s.
What? Wait, what has again?
Rebel Without a Cause.
Rebel Without a
Cause.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, obviously, that film's made in the 50s. There's probably nothing there that's going to be of any... cause any offense anyway. I mean, the fact they had to get through America's Hays Code to begin with would tell you there's nothing in there that's going to be of any contentious or controversial or contentious or anything. It's just that the BBFC were even worse back then. It's just very, very stupid. They can be quite stupid at times. It's just a good thing they got a lot better recently.
I'll put it this way. The reason why it stands out for me, not only for the ratings issues it dealt with, because initially they said it was to do with the parents being poor role models to James Dean's character, God rest his soul, he died through, that the father character was effeminate and not a good role model, and that's why they had to give it an X, which restricted it to 16 and up at the time. But now, looking at it, because it's PG... It's a bit unusual because of the scenes of knife violence. I know that's a big issue in the UK, considering knife crime usually affects the sort of poor and broken communities, like in East London or Brummy, that sort of thing. So I would have thought they would have passed it like 12 or hell, like a low end 15 on the basis of the scenes of knife crime.
Well, it might be able to, but again, due to how old the film is, I mean, considering its legacy for... Due to its status as a legacy film, probably going to get away with a the lower rating.
Oh, no, I totally understand. It's just, it was a bit unusual for me when I first saw it about 11 years ago on a rental DVD from the library. Oh, and another thing, Kidulthood, Shank, all those revolver movies, like British hood films, they qualify. They're sort of like Britain's answer to the Boys in the Hood and Menace to Society. But I wasn't quite old enough to see Kidulthood. But I could ask you, because
you probably... I haven't seen it.
Were they this big problem? Because, you know, a lot of these sort of films were blamed on youth crime, or there's also sort of racial elements as well, because a lot of the characters in these movies were black or Arab, living like in The Estate or The Ends.
I don't think I've... I don't. Which film did you say again?
Kidulthood.
I've not seen it.
Or like movies like Blues Story or Shank, or what I like to call revolver movies, because Revolver used to distribute a lot of them back in the day, and it was, pardon the stereotype, and what was like this air, you pussy hole, I'm gonna shank ya. You're from the Ends, blood. I'm from NW1. You're from SW2. Got fucking caught, yeah, you pussy. I'm like, come on, what's the step? These wannabe Menace to Society, Boys in the Hood type movies. I'm sure it caused a bit of a riffraff at the Daily Mail, but I think they're just sort of a mix between exploitation and sort of way of life youth crime dramas, in the same way that The Outsiders was a youth crime drama about a bunch of young hoodlums who were white and from the Midwest causing havoc. And that was a PG, despite depicting youth gangs like the Warriors. That was X, but then it turned 18, then 15, and that dealt with youth gangs. Have you seen that one?
I've not seen the Warriors, no.
Well, you're missing out, because they're coming to play, yay!
I mean, there's another film that came out coming of age of that film, Boyhood.
That one, I'm a little surprised it actually was a 15, because it looks like a film that could appeal to children, but having seen it, it's got some unsettling and disturbing scenes of domestic violence, and then the usual F words. So I thought, yeah, that's probably not going to get anything lower than a 15. It's a shame, because I think it's a great little movie.
Like I say, not actually seen it, but
Same guy done Dazed and Confused, which was a movie set in Texas about a bunch of stoners and sort of young people trying to have the night of their life, dude. Like Quadrophenia, which is, I know, is a British youth classic about a young man who gets off his rocker, he does some pills, has a chimp up with a few birds, meets Sting, gets in the slammer, and tries to commit suicide near Beachy Head. Did you know that's a 15 certificate movie, even as early as the 90s?
Which film was that again?
Quadrophenia.
I don't know much about that film. I was just looking at Boyhood. Boyhood. Yeah, apparently, it's 40 uses of fuck. So yeah, that's gonna do it.
Well, but, the language wasn't the issue for me. It was the domestic violence scenes. But
either way, that's what got it at 15.
Oh, yeah. That I understand. But Quadrophenia is even more interesting, because that one has like 7 or 8 uses of the C word.
But it was an X to begin with. When I released the video, it was an 18. But now, yeah, it's been re-released as with a 15. But again, they're probably way cooler on that now. Oh, fucking hell. Cunt has said 14 times. Well, fuck me, that is a lot.
I know. Surprised, aren't you? If you see the film, you're...
Yeah, I'm impressed with a BBFC for letting that go.
As well as it's got scenes of youth doing pills and getting kind of high. And then there's even some full frontal nudity as well. You get to see Ray Winstone's cock, which I thought... Okay, that's too much. I'm not ready for that. Because he's Mr. Hard. He's like Danny Dye. He's hard.
Yeah, that's well, I wouldn't want to see him naked, that's for sure. Yeah, apparently, Quadrophenia is now, yeah, well, I've got released for the cinema again in 1996 and got a 15 rating. Anyway, but then again, when that's not relevant, I don't, I mean, what's the film about again?
It's about teenagers.
Oh, shit, right. Yeah, so it is relevant to what we're saying.
Because the guy must be at least like 16 or something. But, you know, clockwork orange, the main character was 15. The actor was much older than that, but
obviously.
I'm surprised we haven't talked about Clockwork Orange. I know
we're
sort of pushing our luck here, but I think that one's pretty obvious to everyone who's listening because everyone knows about the 28-year withholding of distribution.
Could yeah, it was...
until 1999 after his death.
Yeah, and of course, that even got an X rating of America's MPAA, and that before the X rating got associated with porn and therefore could be... could just be released as it were. You know, I mean, as in they were called to release films with an X rating, this is what I meant. Sorry, I'm a little bit distracted. But yeah, I mean, so many people have watched that film and missed the point and everything and think Alex Delage is someone to be emulated when the whole point of him is that he's, well, not. He's a... Oh, you missed the point by idolising them, sort of thing. Much like Rorschach from The Watchmen or Travis Bickle from Taxi Driver.
Or Arthur Fleck from Joker for all you Gen Z.
Well, that was an obvious one. completely obvious one. Anywho, as I say...
Very controversial.
Anyway, have we... yeah. Do you think we've come to a natural conclusion here?
Yes.
All right, okay, well, yeah, that was certainly an interesting discussion about this topic. I'm sorry I couldn't really contribute as much to the last ones. Obviously, it was probably not what I knew too much about, but yeah, nonetheless, good fun.
No, it's my apologies. It's because I probably was rushing, thinking, oh, what to think of. Sometimes when we do these podcasts, there's no script. We just go off our heads. I think that's sometimes the best way. But maybe for future ones that we do, like the one we'll be doing about espionage and spy movies, we'll try to tighten it up a bit for anyone listening, okay?
Yep. Alrighty then. No problem.
Until then, thank you all for listening. We hope to be back next time for espionage or whatever topic comes to our mind. And for anyone who's in France... Soyez vigilant et soyez protégé contre la police et le gouvernement. Because of the killing of Nahel, who's an Arab kid who died in Paris. Until then.